Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning. Rise and shine. You're on with the Due Time with Pastor Steph. How are you today? That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Ooh, where were you yesterday? Oh, yesterday was Wow Wednesday, and we had quite a bit of news. Well, we started with our socially conscious segment with Vivian and our COVID numbers. Every single state in our top five numbers had gone up in a week, and they're assuming that there's a spike in the COVID numbers because it's flu season and it's the cold weather. Now, I guess we'll find out what the real deal is as the numbers go up or as the numbers go down, because I don't know if I want to, you know, sink my teeth into that one. And we talked about the Astroworld event that, you know, it claimed the life of the 9-year-old, unfortunately, who had, you know, the biggest story was about this young 9-year-old for the past week. And unfortunately, he succumbed to his injuries, making 10 deaths and now up to 200 lawsuits. Yes. So, you know, I guess people are really going to want to jump on the bandwagon now because, you know, hey, now that everybody, you know, knows that, you know, there's another death, they're going to be milking it. I know it. They're going to be milking this. Why? Because that's what people do. That's what people do. Yeah, they jump on the bandwagon when they see that things are already happening. Yep. Well, we also talked about the ambulance driver who crashed and, you know, the ambulance and killed the patient while being intoxicated. You know, what is going on with these people? Why would you get behind the wheel of your ambulance and you've been drinking and now this individual who had a non-emergent illness has lost their life? Yeah. You know, it's just too much. It's too much. You know, again, this is what, you know, we're going down to. You know, you have less and less people that are taking, you know, these jobs or have these jobs already. And now, unfortunately, we're left in the hands of these dopes. Yeah, so we'll know real soon what's going to happen to him, because they're not going to play with him. All right. Now, we are talking to the ladies yesterday morning, and You know, we talked about the way we ourselves, you know, bring on our own unhappiness. Yes, we do. We do. And, you know, that's really assessing yourself in a harsh way. Yes, we're really guilty of that. You know, the saying is we're our own worst critic. And that's what happens most times. You know, there's stuff that goes on in our life and we're looking, and instead of us, you know, really enjoying what we're doing, we are now, you know, looking at it and we're criticizing ourselves, and, you know, other people are trying to encourage us. But as they're encouraging us, we're going backwards and we're going downhill. Well, that ain't going to help us. No. The other thing that we do is we blame ourselves for things we have no control over. You know, that's life. Things are going to happen. And the best thing you need to understand is when you need to be out of the loop of blame. Yes. You know, just step back. Just take that moment to step back and really give the situation a real, true assessment. And then if you are to blame for something, or if there's something you could have done better, then you address it. Then you address it. But definitely do not blame yourself for things that you cannot control. Well, here's the flip side to that, which, you know, it's even worse than that. Blaming yourself is not blaming yourself. Yes, when we don't really, you know, put ourselves where we need to be. We do not take responsibility. We do not take accountability for the things we do. And, you know, what happens after that? What happens after that? When you don't, you know, you don't place the proper blame. What lessons do you learn? You know, how do you step up to be a better person when you don't take accountability for what you do? That means it's everybody else's fault. How do you possibly grow? There's no way on earth you can grow. Yeah, it just doesn't work like that. This doesn't work like that. So, you know, we got our conversation underway. The ladies did a fine job as always. And, excuse me, you know, we really, we really got an opportunity to give this stuff some thought yesterday. After their presentation, you really were able to sink your teeth in to, you know, what brings on our own unhappiness. You know, a lot of times it just is not from an outside source. It's internal. Okay. Well, we had our techie talk yesterday with Dwayne. And, ooh, he brought us some information that said free, free, free. Ooh, yes. Windows 11 is free. So go check it out. Go check it out. You don't want to miss that opportunity, because I can guarantee you probably it's not going to be free forever. But if it's free now, just go check it out. I'm not telling you to do it. I'm not telling you to download it on your computer. But you can at least get a nice opportunity to review everything. And then if it looks good, download it. It's free. Okay. Well, we ended off our Wow Wednesday with our Pastor Charlene and our Faith Over Fear segment. Yes. So we had a full day as always. And we are so grateful to God, because today is Therapeutic Thursday. Yes. Already we are at the Thursday mark. God has safely brought us through the week. We are on the other side of that Wednesday, and we have a special guest with us today. I can't wait to get her on, because, baby, we about to talk about some stuff, something that is really key to kind of like what we were talking about yesterday, but it's the key to how we function in life. Yeah.
a lot of times we think that, you know, we're just moving about and doing things and, you know, our past has not affected us. And, okay, okay. Okay, if you want to think that way, that's fine. That's fine. But in counseling sessions and really talking to people, you understand that a lot of the things that people do or don't do really come from your childhood. And, you know, I always think about my sister and myself. We experienced some things equally. And when I look at how she responds to certain things and I look at how I respond to certain things, you know, sometimes people go through the same trauma, but it affects you differently. Not only does it affect you differently, but you handle it differently. And I'm not good, bad, right, wrong, or indifferent. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, you know, we, again, here we are, you know, in the mouth of 55 and 54, and stuff is still coming out. Yes, she was talking to me the other day, and she brought up some stuff, and I was like, oh, man, that happened a long time ago. And I'm not saying she should have gotten over it, but what my point is, we're 55 and 54, and it's still there. So I believe that we're going to touch on some things today that will help us move forward by the grace of God. And one of the things that I do know is God makes the difference. Ooh, yes, God makes the difference. And, you know, I always bring God's people to you. So not only will we be talking about just the topic, but I'm sure we're going to be able to infuse some godly things up in there. So I am really excited about getting this conversation going. So go tell a friend. Make sure you go tell a friend that it's due time with Pastor Steph is on. And Therapeutic Thursday is here. And we're going to be discussing some therapeutic stuff. Yes, yes, yes. Emotional, mental, physical, you know, spiritual, financial. Yes, we get it all done here on Thursdays. That therapy is needed. So go get that healthy breakfast. We got a couple of minutes before we're going to get started. And I got some news. I wasn't really impressed with the news today, but I think I'm going to go back to some of the stuff Vivian talked about yesterday because we kind of skated over it. And hold on to your seat. We'll be right back.
Cancer doesn't wait. Neither should you. We know COVID-19 is on everyone's mind right now.
But that doesn't mean you should neglect your routine health care. It's important to take care of yourself by doing regular cancer screenings. Screening checks your body for cancer before you have symptoms.
Regular screening tests may find breast, cervical, and colon cancers early, when treatment is likely to work best.
Lung cancer screening is recommended for some people who are at high risk.
Talk with your doctor now about when and how often you should be screened before you develop symptoms.
If you're having symptoms, take action now and call a doctor.
Finding cancer early improves your chances of living longer.
Make sure to ask your doctor about the steps they're taking to keep you safe during visits.
Remember, cancer doesn't wait.
For more information, visit cdc.gov/cancer. This message is brought to you by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, American Cancer Society, and the National Comprehensive Cancer Network.
Well, good morning, good morning, and good morning to you. I have to talk over this loud music because the board seems to have a mind of its own today. But we're going to go on anyway. We're going to press on in the name of the Lord. And we're really looking forward to Therapeutic Thursday. Yes. I am very happy and grateful to God that he decided to wake us up today. Yes. And give us an opportunity to be together one more time. And like I said, this board has been, it's been doing some real interesting stuff this morning. But I'm going to continue to do what I do. Well, I'm going to really have to rely on Vivian from yesterday because I can't pull up any stories. Well, let's talk about whether bosses should be banned from contacting employees after hours. You know, we're talking about therapy and mental health and all of that stuff today. Well, this is real stuff. You know, we talk about health, mental health, emotional health, and when you're talking about your family time, that stuff is important. You know, one of the things, especially with clergy, one of the things that people have always complained about, families have always complained about, is the fact that the pastor can't leave work where it needs to be. You know, we are definitely always on call. Yes, you know, some people say, you know, my hours are, but you really can't, you know, talk about that the way you talk about other things. You know, you got lives in your hands and, you know, you're always talking somebody off the fence. Oh, my goodness gracious, off the ledge, off the fence, off the bridge, always. And, you know, if you're the type of pastor who is a holistic pastor, meaning, you know, you're involved in every part of your congregant's life. You know, if God's called you to that extreme, you know, because some pastors, they just get up, they just preach, and they sit down, and I don't quite know how much of a pastor that is, opposed to being a preacher or a minister. You know, pretty much when you're a pastor, you're involved in leading the people. You're not just preaching to them. You really have some active involvement in their life. And, you know, it's really important that, you know, you understand, like we talked about a few weeks ago, where to draw the line. You have to know where to draw the line. Because now your family possibly becomes ill while the church people get healed. Ooh. So yesterday, you know, Vivian told us that there was a new law implemented, and, you know, you have to have 11 hours of time between you leaving the job and you actually going to work. And that's a tall order for pastors. You know, 11 hours a day? Wow. Woo, baby. I don't know the last time 11 hours was met on my watch. You know, and that's one of the things they always talked about with people who own their own business. You know, they unfortunately, you know, when you're they say it costs to be the boss. You know, you don't get the rest. You don't punch the clock. You know, you have to be up putting out fires on the job and doing payroll and making sure that the employees have a, you know, a safe working environment. And, yeah, it goes on and on and on. You know, I look at us with the embroidery entity of the church and, you know, a lot of times Shanti's has that machine. It's ticking at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning. And I'm like, wow, you know, you don't turn it off. You don't get the luxury of turning it off for 11 hours a day. So listen, whatever state that's in, man, consider yourself blessed, because that is definitely not easy to come by. Woo! All right.
well, let's see if this is going to allow me to talk this morning. Nope. Oh, yeah. Okay. So here's something that I did want to talk about, and that's us washing our fruits and vegetables. You know, especially during the time of COVID, you know, we're talking about health today, and especially during the time of COVID where we, you know, people are touching your stuff and, you know, you always wonder, you know, what exactly happens when you don't wash? What germs when you don't wash, you know, your fruits and vegetables? And, you know, you think about the fact that this stuff is in the stores before you get it, and what exactly is happening, you know, to your food. You know, how are they locking it up, and how are they keeping it fresh and contaminant-free? And, you know, remember, as it's being moved around, they're spraying a lot of this stuff with pesticides and things like this. So how are you going to efficiently wash your fruits and vegetables and be able to rest that it's free of all those germs? Okay. Well, one of the things that they say you can really do, I saw this quite some time ago and I do it, is vinegar. Did God make vinegar? Man, you talk about stuff that vinegar. Woo, vinegar is a monster. Well, it does help to get rid of quite a bit of germs and helps to clean and things like that. Yes, you know, I clean my potatoes with vinegar. I soak them in vinegar and, you know, just give them a good wash. And, you know, for things that you're not really able to, because vinegar will also break your food down, you know, certain food and produce, so you can't soak it. Well, what they're saying is that other monster that everybody has in their house, you can use this to wash your fruit and vegetables. Baking soda. I tell you, if all you got to have in your house is vinegar and baking soda, and man, you are set. You are set. Well, I wasn't surprised that baking soda was actually the remedy. I hadn't thought about it on my own, but yes, they're saying give your fruit and vegetables, your fruits and vegetables, a nice wash with baking soda, and you can eat those grapes. And, you know, long gone the days we can just go put our hand in grapes in the store and eat them. I'm like, ooh, what has come over these grapes? What hands? You know, they are monitoring you also so that you don't eat the grapes like we used to in the store. But I have no desire to do that before I get home. Excuse me. And actually, am able to wash them. But I was like, well, how am I washing these grapes? Because I can't put no vinegar on my grapes. I mean, I definitely can't soak them. Well, there you have it. There you have it, your baking soda. All right, so that's our health thing for the morning. Yes. Can't say that Pastor Steph didn't give you of health information. Okay? All right. Well, let me see if we can pull up our other story here. We're about to go into our Thanksgiving season and shopping and all kind of things of sitting around at the table, and we're getting our homes prepared to chow down. You know, everybody's written their menu out, or they've gone and gotten their favorite dessert or food that they pull out only at this time of year. Well, be grateful and be thankful, because they say millions in Afghanistan face starvation and food running out as winter approaches.
excuse me, if you remember a couple of weeks ago, or last week was it, I gave the news about the family who was actually selling off the children. Yeah, remember the family of eight, and the dad couldn't afford to take care of the children. Mom had already been, you know, they had been on the street begging. Mom had been borrowing and all that kind of stuff, and they had reached their end. And the only other thing to do was to sell their second child. Remember, they had already sold a child earlier, and they had just gotten finished selling their second child for about $1,200. And that is not going to last long, and it's not going to mean much, actually, because they say starvation could affect 23 million people in Afghanistan. 23 million people. And they say 95% of the people don't have enough food. And now you're looking at an additional amount of people who are going to fall into that category. They say the next 6 months are going to be really, really hell and catastrophic. And the winter weather is really bad in the country and always proves to, you know, render a harder time for them to eat. Well, it makes sense because you're talking about, you know, if you have any, you know, again, the produce and stuff that has to grow from the ground, excuse me, and how is it going to manage in the wintertime, you know, based on their land. So, you know, here we are getting ready to chow down, and there are people who can't even eat at all. Not only are they going to be hungry, and I think that's what really stood out to me. They're not saying that people will be hungry. What they're saying is people are going to starve. Yes, they are going to starve. So we definitely, you know, don't want to, you know, take our blessings for granted. You know, we sit down and we chowing down and, you know, do we really give thanks for what we have available to us? Do we really give God thanks for the things that, you know, we have available to us? Or are we spending that time complaining? You know, are we, think about it. Think about it. Are we really grateful to God for all that he does, opposed to, you know, really sitting down and just eating and making ourselves sick at the table? You know, people are going house hopping. You know, I can never do that on Thanksgiving. I need to know where I'm going. I need to be settled. I don't want to be eating everybody's food, you know, and I'm listening to some of the conversation that goes on. And I'm like, wow, you know, this is what people think about. You know, I gotta go, you know, rent a car, and I hope I have a this or I have a that so I can, you know, get around to people. And I'm looking here and I'm like, wow. And here these people won't have anything to eat. So, you know, let's give God thanks. Well, Afghanistan is not the only one that's experiencing it. They say that North Korea is also at the brink of starvation. Yes, if this thing would act right, they say that North Korea is down, desperately down, in their food supply, and they're saying that often children on the streets are dying from starvation, and that's a continual issue. The lower class of North Korea are suffering even more so as the food shortages are becoming worse, and they're saying that
The border has been closed since January of last year to prevent the spread of COVID-19 from China, but they believe that that has also caused a problem with their food supply. Yeah. Now, they say that North Korea has always struggled with the issue of, you know, lack of food, but the pandemic has made it even worse. And they're saying that, you know, right now, but going forward, it is really, really a bad situation that's looming. And again, it's the harvest. The harvest is crucial. The crops are, you know, have been destroyed over there in North Korea by a series of typhoons. And they have not been able to recover. So they say every grain of rice in the country is to be secured, and everyone who eats should go and help with the harvest. So it goes back to the biblical times who say, hey, if you don't work, you don't eat. Yeah, they're saying every grain of rice has got to be guarded and protected. Can you imagine? We can sit down at a table full of food and hear North Korea has to guard and protect every grain of rice. Wow. Wow. That's a big thing. That's a big thing. That's heartbreaking. That is definitely heartbreaking. So, you know, well, as we go into this holiday season and we're shopping, you know, here's what we should do. You know, if you have not already done so, I want you to definitely get to someone who is not as blessed as you are and call them up and ask them, you know, do you have somewhere to go? Do you have, you know, food? Ask them, invite them over. You know, if you can, buy a little extra, because some people don't, they're not honest and they don't say that they really don't have food. But you'll watch if they pack up. You know, sometimes, you know, you're looking at them and you're thinking that they're greedy. And I have found, yes, I have experienced this. I found out later that the person didn't have any food in their house. But instead of saying so, because of pride, they err on the side of just looking like they were just greedy because you thought they had. So, you know, that's what you need to, that needs to be your goal. You know, think about someone else who does not have and make sure you provide for them as well. You know, it's not just you and your family sitting down and getting something to eat. Okay? All right. Well, it is time for us to move into our next segment. And I want to say a hearty good morning to our Pastor Corrine Johnson. Dr. Pastor Corrine Johnson. Shatice, I need you to mic, please mic up Pastor Johnson, because my board over here is really kind of, it's sick. It's starving. It's starving. So when I see her mic go on, then I'll know that she's available. How embarrassing is this for us to be experiencing this? You know, the enemy always got something going on. Always has something going on. Let me see if I can do. Oh, there we go. Good morning, Dr. Corrine.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
I am great. How are you?
I am well. Thank you. I am well. And giving God thanks that you're able to join us today. And why don't you let everybody know who Dr. Corrine Jeffrey Johnson is?
Well, Dr. Corrine Jeffrey Johnson is, first of all, a humble servant of God. I am a successful wife, mother, entrepreneur, pastor, certified life coach, certified relationship, marriage, and purpose coach. I am also known as the purpose pusher because God has anointed me to push people into the destiny and the purpose that he has ordained for their life. And so in a nutshell, that's who I am.
Amen. 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 And I really, from the time I saw your Facebook page, I was drawn to, you know, what I saw that you were offering God's people and what God had blessed you with. And when we spoke, I was really, really, really just grateful to God that we made the connection and that you were willing to come on and bless us with all of that knowledge and wisdom that you got over there in Georgia.
Amen.
So thank you again for joining us. And as we talked yesterday, we spoke about trauma being the topic today. And that is definitely something that, you know, we've been discussing here off and on this due time with Pastor Steph. And when I saw it, I immediately wanted to talk about it. And, you know, as you said, you thought that that would be a wonderful conversation as well. So here we are. Here we are. So we're going to talk about the 9 points of trauma this morning. And your first point is there are many levels of trauma. What is that about, Pastor? What do you call it? Dr. Corrine? Let's call you Dr. Corrine. Is that good?
Yeah, that's good. That's right.
All right, Dr. Corrine. So please tell us the levels of trauma.
Well, the first thing about trauma is that we need to understand that there are levels of it. And just because, you know, that you may have gone through something in your life that was traumatic, well, I may have gone through something that was even on a greater scale to where I was traumatized. And so when I say that there are different levels of trauma, what you've gone through, it may be an easier process for you to get over it. But because I may have gone through more than you have, the process may be a little bit more of peeling off a lot of layers for me. And so when we think about trauma, Pastor Steph, we have to understand that there's levels of it. But even though there are levels of it, we have to understand that depending on the level of trauma that you have experienced and how deep it is in your life, that's the depth of the deliverance that we're going to need to be able to come out of what we have experienced. And I'm not just talking about, when I say deliverance, I'm not just talking about demonic deliverance where, you know, we casting out devils. Sometimes that is the case, and a devil does need to be cast out. But I'm talking about the deliverance of understanding and getting a foundation of the Word of God, because understanding is a form of deliverance, because it begins to break the self-inflicted strongholds off of our life. The more knowledge of the Word of God that we have, the more of a foundation of the Word, the more that we're able to break those strongholds. And strongholds can be self-inflicted, they can be generational, or they can be demonic. But whatever the level of trauma we experience, we must get understanding on that level. So whatever level of trauma that we've been through, yes, we need the Word of God, but God has also anointed other men and women that have written books about trauma and the process and how they came out of it. And so that's what we need to begin to impart into our spirit, the Word of God. And then once again, we need to read books that are on the level of the trauma that we have experienced, so we can get understanding to be able to walk out the level of trauma that we have experienced.
Oh, what a wonderful beginning. You know, right before you came on, I was talking about, you know, both my sister and I experiencing the same thing, but it would be traumatic for one and not traumatic for the other, or the one handles traumatic experiences one way and one handles traumatic experience the other way. And I was saying we're at 55 and 54 this year, and even in the conversation that we have, I hear, you know, where that particular traumatic thing is still lingering 50 years later, and it does not affect, like you said, this people the same way. Let me ask you something. You mentioned the part about, you know, understanding, and how does God make the difference right here in two people reacting the same thing, but the trauma is different at the end of the day because of your understanding, and the level of trauma is different?
Well, the first thing that we have to understand is that we're dealing with a spiritual battle here. And we have to understand that because it's a spiritual battle, that there's an origin where all of this stuff comes from. So we have to understand that we have to begin to get to the root of where it came from, because that's the only way that we're going to be able to apply the word of God, is to, first of all, we got to be honest about what we're dealing with. We got to be honest about where it originated from. And then we got to begin to take the word of God and dissect the word of God and find out who the word says that we are. That's why the Bible tells us that we are to pull down, you know, those strongholds and cast down vain imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. So until we come into the knowledge of God, the trauma in our mind is still going to be that it's going to be higher than the knowledge of God. The abuse is going to continue to be higher than the knowledge of God. The divorce that I went through is going to be higher than the knowledge of God, because we don't understand that the Bible tells us that every tongue got to confess, every knee got to bow. That means that everything has got to bow to the word of God. It got to bow to the name of Jesus. So that means that even though there's a level of trauma that has taken place in our life, we can't exalt it above the name of Jesus. It got to bow. But the only way that that it has to bow is that we have to come into the word of God. We have to be knowledgeable of the word of God and use Jesus as our example. He was bruised. He was wounded. He was crucified. But yet and still, he understood. Jesus didn't allow those things to affect his destiny, because he knew that the cross was his destiny anyway. And so anyway, that's why he was able to declare, "Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they do. They know not what they do."
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and so the people that have inflicted these traumas upon us, they know not what they do. But when we hold on to it for 30, for 40, for 50 years, we think that we're hurting the other person. We're holding up our deliverance. And the only person that we're hurting are ourselves, because we're sitting and we're having a conversation with our past every day in our head, while the other person has gone on, married somebody else, had more children, enjoying their life, and the other person that has been traumatized is somewhere sitting in a corner having a conversation with everything that has taken place in their past, and it is holding them bondage. And so until we get to a place to where we can forgive and let go, and then another reason, Pastor Steph, the reason why people hold on to this stuff for so long is because the church teaches us that, oh, well, Jesus is all you need. That's what the church teaches us. And he is. He is all that we need. But just for an example, this morning, I had some tooth work done in my mouth a couple of months ago. And even though I knew that Jesus was all I needed, I got on that phone and I called the dentist to look at my mouth.
That's right.
Because I needed something. And so if I know that I am hurting in my mind, yes, Jesus is all I need, but I can also go see a therapist. And so,
right.
And that's something that has been frowned on in the body of Christ. But those therapists are there with the knowledge and information that we need to walk us through the process of peeling off those layers that we just talked about a few minutes ago.
Right, right, right. Wow. Ooh, we continuously, that continuously comes up, Dr. Corrine, with, you know, the church and the fact that, you know, mental illness and traumas and all kind of things are consistently swept underneath the rug. And that, oh, it just keeps coming up. It just keeps coming up. Ooh, I heard you step into some other points, so I want to definitely move on to trauma is a conversation between a person's past and their future. Ooh, introduce that one to us, please.
Yes, the second point that we must understand about trauma this morning, Pastor Steph, is that every time somebody does something to traumatize us, it's a saved file that goes into your heart. And when I say your heart, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the heart of your mind. So since it's a saved file that goes into the heart of our mind, that's why the Bible tells us when we come to the Lord, when we receive salvation, that we are to renew our minds on a day-to-day basis. Because if we don't renew our mind, we're gonna that file is gonna remain there, and that's gonna begin to play like a recorded video in our head. And so that's why you can begin to see, and I'm going to use women for an example, because we know men are traumatized as well, but just for an example, I'm going to use women this morning. So that's why we see some, you know, maybe African-American women, and that's who I am, so that's who I'll use the example. You know, you may see them 1 week, Pastor Step, one day, and they'll have on a long blonde wig with blue contacts on Monday. And then on Tuesday when they show up for work, they may have on a red wig with some different color, you know, contact lenses in their eyes, different colors, their fingernails redone all over again, constantly buying outfits and different things like that, because they're trying to fit in. They don't know their identity, so they're trying to look for a way to fit in, because trauma changes your identity. You don't know who you are. So because you can't move forward into the future of who you really are, you start altering your appearance because you don't feel like you're pretty enough. So you change your hair every 2 days. And then you show up for church on Sunday morning saying, look at the new me. And the new me is literally wrapped up in trauma. The new me is literally just trauma wrapped up in a blonde wig with blue contacts on, because trauma causes us to wear a mask. And so when we begin to do these things, we are feeding into that demonic personality of trauma. And many of us, Pastor Steph, whether you believe it or not, there are so many people in the body of Christ that got at least about 4 or 5 personalities. And it's
absolutely.
We don't understand, Pastor Steph, that when we have been traumatized, we have to guard our ear gate. We have to guard our eye gate. We have to guard what we watch and what we see. And so nowadays we sit up and we watch the Walking Dead on TV, the Real Housewives of L.A. and the soap operas, but traumatized people can't watch that kind of stuff, because you have to understand, those personalities will transfer from TV. The personalities that you're sitting up watching on the television, they will literally transfer from the television to your traumatized mind. And now you're trying to figure out, well, what's wrong with her? Those demonic personalities has transferred. And so now, you know, once again, you already don't know your identity. And so now you're walking in and what has transferred from the television to you, and it's messing up your mind even the more and causing you to be, once again, oppressed in that state of trauma.
Dr. Corrine, I'm so glad you said that. You know, I don't think, you know, people would understand, you know, sometimes when we would have service and, you know, I would say to them, I said, you know, what is it, 40 of you? Well, now I got about 90 people in the room, because how many of y'all walked up in here today with 9 different personalities? So now I got there with all 9 times the 40 of you. And people don't
they don't think like that. They think, you know, oh, well, you know, it's just a couple of people in the church or, you know. No, you have to deal with everybody's trauma as they have brought all that stuff in from all the week, what they've watched on TV, who they have engaged with, all kinds of things. And I'm so glad you know. So now everybody, Pastor Steph, is not crazy. I used to say that all the time. You don't really get an opportunity to deal with one person because you are dealing with things, and you do have to watch what you look at and what you listen to, and, you know, all this music you're listening to. You got to watch that music, all this TV you're watching. Turn that TV off, because all of these things, you're my aid in to who you are. And people really underestimate, Pastor Corrine, you know, what happens to us when we are actually engaging in TV, interacting with people and all kind of things. So I am so glad that you're bringing this stuff out today, because that's such crucial information. And,
amen.
You know, we've got to, the body of Christ has got to hear this stuff, you know, because again, like you said, immediately people tell, you know, well, you know, just pray and, you know, God will fix things and everything will be all right. You know, you're not praying enough. No, faith and works. It's not just faith. So this is like some crucial stuff you're getting to. Let's go to your next point. Most people are having a conversation with their past.
Ooh. Yes, yes, ma'am. And because they're having that conversation with their past, that's why we see such a high rate of murder, divorce, death, and crime that's going on right now within the world right now, because people are having a conversation with their past. And so to help you better understand what I'm talking about, let's use for an example that, you know, we'll talk about serial killers this morning, and their main goal is to go out and they murder prostitutes. Let's say for an example that we're dealing with a serial killer. The police is looking for him. He is literally just going from place to place to place, and he's only murdering prostitutes. 9 times out of 10, Pastor Steph, that man is having a conversation in his head with his mother. Because 9 times out of 10, his mother dogged him out and put other men and other relationships before him. And so now he's having
Wait, Pastor Corrine. Excuse me, Pastor Corrine. Wherever you are, you're breaking up. And we don't want to miss a word of what you're saying. So wherever you were before, that was perfect.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Oh, much better. Thank you so much. I'm sorry. Okay, so continue, please. Thank you.
Yes. As I said, that when we're talking about having a conversation with our past, I use for an example a serial killer that goes out and he only murders prostitutes. That person, that man, is having a conversation in his head with his mother, because once again, either his mother was a prostitute, or either his mother dogged him out and put him before other men.
Right.
And so now that, because, you know, he's an adult, he's going around and he's dealing with that trauma and he's held it in for so long. And so now, because, you know, the things that his mother did to him that caused him to be traumatized and feel rejected, now he's making that the manifestation of it, of the anger. And the rage is coming out now in the fact that he's going around and he's killing other women that are prostitutes, because he thinks that, hey, that's gonna help ease my pain, and really is not. You know, he's processing it wrong, but he's having a conversation in his head that stems from the relationship that he and his mother had that left him literally traumatized. And so every person that we deal with, you know, they've been traumatized. And some of them have not dealt with it. And so they walk around on a day-to-day basis having a conversation in their head with their past. And because they're having that conversation, it's manifesting in their actions and the things that they're doing, Pastor Steph.
You need to get some water?
No, I'm fine. Go ahead on. I'm sorry.
Okay. Okay. And I love that analogy. I want you to please, let's talk really quickly. You know, a lot of times when I'm speaking to the ladies and they're talking about the problems that they have with their partners, their husbands, I say to them, watch how you say things and what you say, because you have to think about who are they really hearing. Are they hearing you? They might be looking at you, but they could be hearing their mother. They could be hearing, you know, from when they were younger and mom was a nag and, you know, all she did was yell. Or are you the ex-wife, ex-girlfriend, you know, who that's what they're hearing? That's who they're hearing when they speak to you. Is that the same thing?
Yes. Yes. And not only that, Pastor Steele, to take it a little bit deeper, I like to tell the single women. Because a lot of times while we're sitting up on these dates and we Google-eyeing one another and, oh, I love you, and, oh, you so pretty, and, oh, you so handsome. No, you need to be asking a lot of questions. Because the older generation of, I know my parents did, when I bought somebody home, who was his parents? You know, they trying to find out all the information that they can. And even though I didn't understand why my dad would do that, I do now, because who we are, where we come from, our background, it matters when we get ready to hook ourselves up to people. And so now you have women that are married to these men. First of all, we got to understand that both of them are dealing with a level of trauma, Pastor Steph, because you're only going to attract who you are.
You can only attract
somebody according to the level of brokenness that's in your own life. And so now, you know, you're broken, he's broken, and you're in the marriage as a wife, and you're looking in, and you're talking to him any kind of way, and you're disrespecting him because of what's in you instead of working on you. But also, like you said, you know, a lot of times men have been traumatized. And so a lot of times as wives, we're not in place spiritually to pray for them and to see that our battle is not even with, you know, our husband, you know, that there's a demon, that there's a devil behind the scene that's pulling strings, and that's where our focus needs to be at in prayer. We need to identify what kind of spirit is holding him hostage and begin to come up against that spirit in prayer, but build him up when we're talking to him.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And it's so crucial what you're saying. You know, a lot of times, you know, to spend time with this family, spend time, like you said, asking questions, because then you'll get to understand a lot more as to what type of trauma that he may have dealt with. A lot of times these women, you know, they don't believe that the men have experienced trauma. And I said, look at you. Now think about what you're doing with your son, and just transfer that over. Transfer that over to what he may have experienced with his mother or his ex or whomever. And like you said, you know, that dating process is so crucial, because it gives you an opportunity to examine all of these things, to see how, you know, he or she is dealing with the traumas. Because if people don't listen, Dr. Corrine, let's talk about that for a minute. People don't listen to what other people say. You know, there's a saying that says, when someone tells you who they are, believe them. How many times have you heard people say, or women say, well, you know, he said that, but, and I'm like, what do you mean, but? He said it.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that he went through in his past, and you need to pay attention to that, because that was traumatic. Let's talk about that for a minute, Dr. Corrine.
Because they don't know their self-worth, Pastor Steph. They've gone through things and they've devalued themselves. They don't know their identity in Christ. They don't know that they are beautifully and wonderfully, I'm sorry, made in the eyes of the beholder. And so because they don't know who they are, they're willing to overlook things and accept whatever just to say, I got a man.
Mm-hmm.
Because the one thing, the older women would say this, and I know my grandmother used to say it, a piece of man is better than no man at all. But I pull that spirit down, because I don't want a piece of man. We need a whole man. And so that's the problem why a lot of women don't listen, and then they don't take heed to the red flags because they're so desperate, and they think, well, if I just had a man, and I know what I'm talking about because I've been there, Pastor Steph, if I could just give me a man, that would fix everything, all of my problems, all my troubles. Well, I just need a man. And so they're looking for that man to fix them when they need God. They need the word, and they need some therapy. And so that's a whole lot of the reason why they don't listen.
Boy, oh boy. I wonder who we talking to out there, Dr. Corrine. Ooh, because like you said, you speak from experience. You know how many times you've moved quicker than you should have moved, or you stepped to the right when you should have stepped to the left because your agenda was not what it was supposed to be, because you were paying attention to the things that, you should have been paying attention to, but you weren't. I remember going through a phase, I was dating someone, and I said, because of past, I said, you know what? I'm not going to ask a whole lot of questions. I'm just going to watch. And every time I got ready to ask some questions, I said, Stephanie, just watch. If that wasn't the worst mistake I made in my life, oh, my goodness gracious. Because when we finally did speak, Dr. Corrine, all those past, all the things that I was watching and I was putting together in my own head, I could not solidify it because I hadn't asked. So at that point, it was only thought. Later on, it was absolute. These were things that were facts. But because, like you said, I'm not paying attention to certain things because I don't want certain answers, or I hope that it's not that. So I ain't bothered. I guess I'll figure it out later. And this stuff here, listening to the things that he was saying was like the past.
Mm-hmm.
What was going on? And how often do we make those mistakes and we end up really, really, really unhappy and unhealthy at the end of the day? Ooh, Dr. Corrine, how are we going to wrap that part up, that conversations with the past?
Well, the first thing that we must do, Stephanie, in order to begin to cause the conversations that we're having with our past is that, and we're going to talk about that in one of the points a little bit later, a little bit more in depth, but we've got to begin to go back and revisit the level of pain, because people will tell us, oh, just move forward. No, you can't move forward. You're going to have to revisit that place of hurt, and you're going to have to deal with it. You're going to have to pull back the rug that you done swept all of it up under, and you're going to have to pull that rug up and look up under there and deal with everything that you have swept up under the rug, everything that you put a mask on top of. You're going to have to come face-to-face with it, and not only face-to-face with what happened, but if the Lord leads, you got to come face-to-face with the people that caused the level of trauma. You got to begin to release those people, and you got to let them go, because forgiveness, being honest with what you have dealt with, is the first thing, and then forgiveness is the second thing, and then you can begin the process of taking off all of those layers and layers of hurt and bitterness and just the layers of pain that you have experienced. And once again, if that includes therapy, if that includes going to see a psychiatrist, it's okay. It's not embarrassing. It doesn't mean that you're crazy. It just means that you are pressing forward to your journey to wholeness.
Absolutely, absolutely. Ooh, let's go to point four. Seduction is a response of something that happened in a man or a woman's past.
Yes, ma'am. Because most of the time when you see people that deal with trauma, either one or two things happen, especially if it's something that happens physically, like sexually, like incest or rape or molestation. In those cases, most of the people that have experienced that, they come up, and then about around their teenage years, they start being very promiscuous and sleeping around. with a lot of people because of the level of trauma that they have experienced. And once again, when somebody has been molested and they don't deal with it or have somebody to counsel them on how to deal with it, they usually end up coming and being involved with a lot of different partners and doing a lot of things sexually with people because of the level of trauma that they have not dealt with. And so once again, they become seductive. And so even if it's a case where, let's say, your daddy rejected you, and then some man comes and he shows you attention because of the level of trauma that was associated with the rejection, so now you sleeping with older men because you having a conversation in your head from the past with your daddy and the rejection that you experienced from your daddy. So now you date older men trying to fill that void because you're trying to be accepted and you want to feel like you're worthy to be loved. And so seduction is a response to the trauma because, once again, that's why we see so many people that are gay, that are lesbian, because let's say Uncle Bobo molested me. And so now I hate all men. And so when I grow up, and because I'm confused in my mind and I'm having a conversation in my past with Uncle Bobo that molested me, so now I'm going to go over here and I'm going to look at this woman and I'm going to get in a relationship with her because I'm not going to deal with opposite sex, so I'm going to be drawn over here to this sex, and vice versa with men. You know, there are a lot of men that are in homosexual relationships because they were molested and they didn't know how to deal with it. So the response to the trauma was, I'm going over here to the to the same sex, and I'm going to get involved with them because they're not going to hurt me like this person did. And so rejection will begin to have you opening up doors to different parts, to the spirit of perversion. It'll have you opening up different doors to things that's just not going to be good. And so seduction is a response most of the time to people that have dealt with incest. Look at R. Kelly for an example, you know, and, yep. And what's going on with R. Kelly. He grew up in incest. His family was the incest, was known as the family of incest. He grew up in it. And so now he's an adult, and look at how it's manifesting in his life because he didn't deal with it. So now, because he's still having a conversation with the little bitty boy that experienced incest and molestation up until all his teenage years, now is manifesting with him sleeping with little girls because he's still having a conversation in his head with his past. And it's manifesting with him sleeping with women that are much younger than he is because that's where he is in his mind. And so seduction is a big part of it, and it's the response to the trauma that has taken place.
Ooh-wee, you have touched on some stuff. You've definitely touched on some stuff, and you're absolutely right. A lot of times, you know, when you speak to, you know, some of the ladies, you know, who have now gone on to the other side, or the same side, as we should say, you know, a lot of times they do say, you know, that man hurt me and I ain't never going to be hurt by a man again. And hurt is not gender biased. People are going to hurt us. So, you know, unfortunately they're running from, you know, hurt from the opposite sex. And it's just the same thing, just from a different person, you know, when you join the other team. So it's the saddest part of even knowing that that's why, you know, you are on the other side. You know, you're dating people of the same sex because, you know, that into you, or like you said, we've been, you know, sexually, you know, tampered with, you know, at a young age, and now, you know, you just can't get that trauma in its proper place. And it's a real sad cycle of life. So you're bringing out like so many key things here. Your fifth point, trauma is a system that will continue to play out until the person in it repents.
Ooh. Yes, Lord. Yes, because trauma is truly a system. Because it's like a cycle, Pastor Steph. let's say for, like, we're going to use for example a washing machine. You know, every time you put a load of clothes in there, it most of the time it's going to go through the same cycle. Every time you wash, it's going to go through the same cycle. And that's what the enemy desires to do, and that is to get us in a cycle. Trauma is a system. It's a cycle that will continue to play out until we repent. Now, repentance requires that we acknowledge that, you know, we were wrong in some things because, you know, I can tell you all day long, Pastor Step, that, oh, you know, that I'm on my third marriage and my first husband walked away and left me for somebody. My second husband molested my daughter. But I got to repent and I got to begin to acknowledge my part that I played in this, or either it's going to be a cycle. It's going to be a cycle. So for us to begin to break the cycle in our lives, I can't just go around telling people, you know, what somebody did to me. I got to be accountable for my part in it because I put myself in that. I put my children in harm's way because I married that individual person. I have to begin to take accountability for my part in it. So at some point, I have to say and admit, Pastor Step, that I didn't utilize the wisdom that God gave me. At some point, I got to say that some of the things that were did wrong to me, but I got to begin to expose my role that I played in it. And so the only way that the cycle is going to end is when we repent and acknowledge what we did and get delivered from what the other person did to us, or either we're going to continue to go around in cycles. So a part of the healing process and peeling off those layers, Pastor Step, is for us to walk in a place of forgiveness. Yes, forgive the person that did what they did to us, but we got to come face to face with what made me choose that person anyway. What made me do this? Now, in the case of molestation and different things like that, that's not what I'm referring to in this particular point here. I'm talking about us that got baby daddies and we down the baby daddies and talk about how they don't take care of their kids and, oh, I went through that divorce and he did this to me. What part did you play in it? Did you ask God, was that your husband? Did God tell you to fornicate? So we have to acknowledge our role that we play in it and repent so that the cycle can stop, so that the cycles can be broken off of our lives, Pastor Steph.
You know, and what you're saying is so crucial, so crucial. Why do you think there's such difficulty? You know, we touched on this yesterday in our conversation, you know, blaming others for what we have control over. What do you think is the problem here with, in the instance you gave, of this baby daddy who ain't doing right, but you don't take responsibility for your actions? What do you think keeps us from being repentant?
Well, number one, there was a young lady that I talked to a couple of weeks ago, and she was pregnant, and I asked her, and I said, they've been dating for a while, so I said, are y'all gonna get married? She said, no. She said, I'm not going to marry him. He got too many issues. And so I asked her, I said, you didn't know he had those issues before you laid down with him? And she just laughed it off. She laughed it off, Pastor Still.
Wow.
And so that's what makes us realize we're so focused in on what we want at the moment, that we're willing to lay down and accept some things and some red flags when we know that they're there. And then once you get pregnant, oh, now that you're pregnant, you see the issue that he had. Those issues were there before you got pregnant from him. And so
we think,
Pastor said, well, oh, it's so much wrong with him that we don't see the need to repent. We just go around town and we just dog and say, oh, he got too many issues. I'm not going to marry him. He got too many issues. But we need to repent because, first of all, we're laying down with these men that we know that got these issues, that we know that's not going to commit, that we know that's not going to marry us, that we know that don't have our best interests at heart, but yet we lay down with them. And I'm talking about from experience. So I'm not being judgmental this morning for those that are listening. I'm telling you some stuff that I've been through my own self. You know, so I'm not being judgmental. I'm just saying we see it before we lay down with them. And then when they don't do right by us, instead of us repenting and having a heart of repentance, we go around and we just dog the man out, you know, not realizing that maybe there's a level of trauma in his life. Maybe there's some things that he's dealing with where he can't commit to, where he can't be who he's supposed to be. But we don't want to acknowledge our part in it and repent, because we see the red flags. Because there are a lot of times that I entered into relationships, I saw the red flag. But sometimes because of a temporary situation, we'll make permanent decisions. Girl, I'm struggling over him paying these bills, honey. He got that good job, honey. I'm going to hook up with him, honey, so the struggle will be over. And then when you hook up with him, the struggle is just beginning, because he got that good job, but he's beating your brains out. He got that good job, but he run around on you. And so we can't hook up with people, with permanent people, because we're experiencing a temporary setback. We just gotta struggle through until God does what He does. But that's the reason why most women don't see the need for repentance, because they don't see that they've done anything wrong. They're just looking in at his issues.
Wow! We're gonna make a T-shirt out of that one, Dr. Corrine. Don't wait. Don't make a permanent decision for a temporary issue. Is that what you say?
And don't make a permanent decision in a temporary situation.
That's a shirt. That's a shirt.
That's a T-shirt.
I'm sending it to you.
A cup and a hat, sis.
What size is your T-shirt? I'm sending you that T-shirt, because that's not the epitome of life for people, especially when it comes to past, you know, traumas. Because now, like you said, you know, you dealing with immediate situations based on traumas, and you've made bad decisions and you've gone the wrong way, and instead of you just, you know, letting God walk you through this process, you are making this permanent decision. And this can be a very temporary situation. I love it. Wow. I love it. We're up to point number 6. Every system or cycle has a set of keys that must be relinquished before we can be free to move to the next level. Where you getting this stuff from, Dr. Corrine? This stuff is fantastic.
Yes, honey. Every system or cycle of trauma, it has a set of keys, and we gotta let them go. We gotta let them go in order to move forward to the next level. Because every cycle has a key, and it's connected. Every key is connected to a mindset. So every time you release a key, you become free in one area, and then you can move on to the next layer. And so, in order for us to begin to break the mindset that we have, we have to take those keys, and we have to release the key. And the most important key that we have to release is unforgiveness. We got to release it, because whoever hurt you was only responding to the level of hurt that was done to them. That's what we must keep in mind. And so we have to release that unforgiveness out of our heart, and we got to extend forgiveness. And that key is connected to a mindset, because most people got the mindset, well, you don't understand what they did to me. You don't know how they molested me all my life. I'm not letting that go. I'm gonna keep that in the back of my mind. I'm not gonna let that go. Well, hold on to it, because the more you hold on to it, the more the enemy is going to oppress you, and you're not gonna be able to move forward. So forgiveness is the most important key that we have to begin to release once we have dealt with a level of trauma, in order for us to be able, Pastor Step, to move on to the next place where God would have us to be.
Wow. We've talked about forgiveness on its due time many, many, many times. And, you know, every time you, you know, pull off another layer of forgiveness, you feel so much lighter.
you just move forward. Like you said, those keys unlock the door to a different room, a different space, a different life. You know, once you forgive, everything shifts. And
it does. You know, and let me add this, Pastor Steph. Sorry to interrupt. Before you go forward, let me add this to somebody that's listening. Because forgiveness don't mean that you're going to forget it.
Right.
You know, they're saying forgive and forget.
Right. Right.
Forgiveness doesn't mean that you're going to forget the things that have happened to you. Forgiveness just means that I release you. I release you from the things that you did to me. I'm not going to hold you. I'm not going to hold myself hostage by not forgiving you. That just means that I'm going to release you. That's a key that's connected to my mindset that I'm going to release. And I'm going to just release everything that has happened and let it go. That doesn't mean that we forget it. And that's why we have to renew our minds on a day-to-day basis. And renewing our minds in the Word and renewing our minds through therapy. Because as the Word is bringing transformation to our lives, therapy is that process of peeling off those layers of hurt that's going to help us to be able to process correctly the things that we've gone through so we can begin to look at it from a different perspective and begin to seek healing and wholeness. So forgiveness don't mean that I forget about what you did to me. It means that I release it and I'm going to process it and I'm going to get a different perspective on what you have done to me. And not only am I going to get a different perspective, but I'm going to use what you did to me for the glory of God. And I'm going to begin to use my testimony to help other women heal and become free from the things that they have gone through. So I just wanted to put that out there because a lot of times people think, well, if I forgive them, I can't talk about it no more. I can't bring it back up. No, you got to talk about it. You need to bring it up because the more you begin to talk about it and release it, the Bible says that we're overcome by the words of our testimony. So we need to speak it. We need to release it where people can hear it. But we need to release those people from the grips of unforgiveness, you know, because when we don't forgive, once again, it's only affecting us when we don't forgive.
Absolutely, absolutely. One of the things that was always key to me when people say, you know, I can't forget. I said, we're not charged to forget. God says we need to forgive. He didn't say we need to forget. To me, that's the first level. The second level for me, Dr. Corrine, is the beauty of forgiveness is when you can release the person from what happened and let God deal with your heart, that you could even love the person past what they've done. Now, I'm not saying that you have to. That's not, somebody said, I got to love them too. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is the beauty of it. There's an additional beauty when you can actually remember. For those women who the baby daddy didn't do them right, he cheated and all of this kind of stuff. Let's use them. You know, and you can, now you have a common child, and your lack of forgiveness makes this relationship hell for the child's life. But when you forgive, you can now love so that everybody benefits. You know, because not everybody who's a bad partner is a bad parent, as crazy as that is. But, you know, it there's a beauty in that I can now look at you and I can move forward with you. We can laugh. We can joke. You know, sometimes people realize at the tail end that we are better friends than we are intimate partners. You know, we never should have answered that in the first place. You know, how many people say that? You know, we do better as friends. And, you know, so I think that's a bonus if you can remember that, you know, what happened. But it doesn't sting you the way it used to. It doesn't hurt you the way it used to. It doesn't send you over the corner crying the way it used to. So I actually really enjoyed that part of moving forward. You know, releasing, and I can come and give you a hug later we used to look at my grandmother like she was crazy. People would do all kind of stuff to her, and she would just see them and just greet them. And I'm like, what is wrong with her? Did she forget that they did this? But it was just God had dealt with her heart that she was able to move forward. And I think that's such a blessing. What do you think, Dr. Corey?
Most definitely, Pastor Steph. Most definitely.
Oh, well, here we are at number seven. And it says, most people try to deal with traumatized people by taking them forward. What does that mean?
Well, for the most part, when we deal with especially the church, when we deal with people that have mental illnesses that stem from trauma or different things, we always try to make them take them forward. And the Word of God has everything you need, so it's time for you to get up from the place where you are and move forward. Well, guess what? Look at in the Bible, the man that sat by the pool of Bethesda. He waited all them years to get his healing. Now, you know somebody had to bring him there and put him. He couldn't walk, so somebody had to bring him there every day and sit him by the pool and let him wait for the stirring of the water for him to get in. And so now, so whoever this person is that was dropping him off every day, they knew he didn't have the ability to get over in the water. But yet and still, I'm going to drop you off by the pool every day, and I'm going to let you figure out how you're going to get in. That's what the church is doing. You know, we come into the services. We come into the pool, but nobody's giving us strategy on what we got to do to get our healing. Because you know as well as I know that, the man that was sitting by the pool of Bethesda, even though his leg wasn't working, the top of his body was, he could have rolled his cell phone in there if he was desperate enough to get his healing. But when I say that most people try to deal with traumatized people by taking or talking them forward, but if you've been traumatized, you can't move forward just yet. You got to begin to go back.
Right.
And you got to begin to revisit that place of trauma. So for an example, let's say that, we're dealing with a man, and he hooks himself up to a woman that was molested by her daddy. So she got daddy issues. So you beginning your future with this young lady, and right off the bat, she's stuck in her past, but you don't know she's stuck. She shared with you the things that have happened to her that her daddy did to her. So she already stuck. So you draw up this beautiful picture of your future. You're the man is, but the woman that you're connected to is still stuck in the past, and she sees the man as a key to her future. So she's using this man to help her get past what has happened to her. So now he becomes a part of the cycle that replays her past in her head. And so now the man marries the woman, and then he marries, and he comes home 5 minutes later than what he normally does, and she going crazy, and she acting crazy and asking, where you been? That's the molestation that has caused the rejection in her life to set in, and now because she's rejected anything that he does out of the ordinary, it takes her back to that place of trauma that she has dealt with. And so now this man is in a marriage, and he's trying to figure out, well, what in the world did I do wrong, when what really happened is that the woman that he's married to is still stuck in a level of trauma because she never sought healing. And so because she never sought healing from her daddy issues, and she's now dealing with rejection, you done came home 5 minutes later than what you normally do. And so the spirit of rejection is also attached to the spirit of suspicion. So now while he's asleep at night, she up going through his cell phone like a crazy woman looking for some evidence because, once again, that what her daddy, those daddy issues are playing out in her head. So you can't take a traumatized person and try to march them forward. I don't care how many days whoever brought the man to the pool of Bethesda brought him there and sat him there thinking that he was going to get his healing. And then they came back to pick him up, and he hadn't even been in the water. You know, he just been sitting there all day letting people go ahead of him and getting their healing, and he's just sitting there looking. So you can't just take a traumatized person and try to march them forward. They got to revisit what has happened to them and release the keys step by step, process by process. When you deal with a traumatized person, they do want to move forward, but they can't until they revisit the hurt and begin to forgive. And so the only way they will be able to forgive, they got to get a whole new level of revelation that is deeper than their wounds. They got to get a whole new revelation that's deeper than the hurt, that's deeper than the trauma, that's deeper than the pain. They got to get a whole new revelation. And that's why when some people begin to seek deliverance, they think that deliverance is all about casting out a demon. And sometimes, once again, we do have to do that. But revelation, the more level of revelation and knowledge that we get of the word of God, then we can begin to go through process of releasing our past step by step through the revelation. The revelation and the knowledge of the word brings deliverance to our lives. So we can keep trying to move a traumatized person forward, but first they got to revisit once again what has taken place and then tap into forgiveness, then come face to face with what's really going on with them, and then get that revelation that is deeper than the level of wounds that they have experienced in their life.
Ooh, good stuff, Dr. Corrine. Good stuff. Number eighth point, trauma stimulates the growth or emerging of demonic personalities. Ooh.
Yes. Because these personalities, when you're dealing with a person that has dealt with trauma, these personalities appear to shield the wounded person when, in reality, they're creating cycles that are set to occur or reoccur in that person's life. So one of the demonic personalities that comes along with trauma is pride. Because pride is a flesh issue, but it opens up the door for the spirit of pride. So what happens is whenever you come across a person that's filled 100% of the time, that when we come across people, more than likely, I'll say 100% of the time, that they've been traumatized one way or another. So what pride does is it makes a person pick up another person's personality that is not their own. And they literally get lost in these different personalities. And so a prideful person does not know who they are, so they take on other people's identities because they don't know their own identity. So let's say, just for an example, that when you were in the world, that let's say that you were a person who liked to go to the club, you know, and club. And then you see a person and they dancing and they laughing and they got this larger-than-life personality at the club. And they sitting there at the bar drinking and acting all wild and acting all crazy. That person is really crying out for help. That's not their personality. It's a lot of different deliverances that must take place, because this person is layered with so many different personalities that they need deliverance, but at different times. Layers of deliverance must take place to remove layers of personality by layer of personality by layer of different personalities. And that's why a lot of people get mad when their real personality is exposed, because a traumatized person will get mad for exposing what's really in them, because they don't want to come face to face with what's really going on, with what's really behind all of these different personalities that they are walking in, that they are experiencing. So when you hide your real personality under demonic personalities and somebody comes along and they exposes the real you, they begin to get mad because, once again, they don't want to come face to face with where the trauma has really came from. I don't want to say that my parents abandoned me. I don't want to say that I've been through two divorces. I don't want to say that I was molested or raped. So we hide behind all of these different demonic personalities to hide the real identity, to hide the real issue that's really going on with us, Pastor Steph. So that's what I mean when I say that trauma stimulates the growth or emerging of demonic personalities, because that's what it does. You operate in all these different personalities because you really don't know who you are, because you hadn't dealt with the level of pain and hurt and bitterness and unforgiveness that's on the inside of you because of the level of trauma that you have experienced.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Number nine, Dr. Corrine, trauma is the devil's doorbell.
Yes, it is. And we can't answer it, Pastor Steph. When he come ringing, we can't answer it, Pastor Steph, because this
right.
is how the
that's
devil
right.
enters. Yeah, that's how he enters in. And that's why the Bible tells us to forgive and don't let the sun go down on your wrath. And the Bible also tells us not to give place to the devil. So trauma is the devil's doorbell. So anytime we experience trauma in our life, the devil is ringing the doorbell. And if you open that door and you begin to have conversation with him, he is so good with his word that he is going to try to convince you to be somebody else. And then he will begin to hand you the pieces of personality that you think will work for you. Trauma causes you to literally lose your identity. So now you once again, we show up for church on Sunday morning with that blonde wig on and them blue contact lenses. And then by the time Wednesday night come, we got on a red wig with a little bit of blue streak in it and some orange contact lenses because, once again, trauma causes us to constantly try to alter our appearance so we will appear to be okay, but on the inside, we are hurting. On the inside, we are bitter, we are angry, and we are dealing with rage, but on the outside is, oh, I'm okay. How you doing today, Pastor Steph? Oh, I'm blessed and I'm highly favored of the Lord. You know, we've been programmed to say that. when really and truly, we got to get real. And when somebody asks us, well, how you doing today? And we got to be able to say, you know what, sis? You know, I'm struggling so bad in my mind. You know, I think I'm about to have a nervous breakdown. I just need you to pray for me because I am struggling in my mind. I'm struggling with so many different things in my life, and I just need some prayer. And until we can get real like that, we're going to continue to show up looking real good on the outside, and then we're going to be dealing with all kinds of levels of hurt and trauma on the inside because we don't want to become face-to-face to what's really going on with us, Pastor Steph.
Wow. This has been a fantastic segment dealing with the 9 points of trauma. I don't think there's anything you have not brought out. You have so much more to discuss. I have so many things, so many notes, and I want to make sure I get you back on because this is definitely an open door for many different questions, for many different points. I can't thank you enough for sharing everything that God has given you to get us on the right track. And this is not the end. God spares is not the end. So
mm-hmm.
I don't even want to talk like it's the end because we need to have you back for real. Because like I said, I've written quite a few questions down, and because you've addressed so many different things. But you've been a really big blessing to us this morning, Dr. Corrine, and I really want to thank you for just showing up this morning and blessing our lives. And we will definitely move forward with the next segment with you. Would you like to come back and help us out some more?
Amen. Just let me know when, and if my schedule permits, I will be humbled to serve, woman of God.
Amen, amen. We will talk later, God's fans. Have a blessed one, Dr. Corrine.
You as well.
Thank you so much.
And thank you so much for having me today.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. We have been truly blessed. Thank you so much. Have a blessed one.
Amen, you as well.
Thank you. Oh, my goodness gracious. How blessed have we been today? 2 weeks in a row, God has helped to deliver us with his women of God to come on and just share. How many of you was she talking to? I see those hands raised. I see those hands raised because a couple of times she was talking about Stephanie. And I give God thanks for just moving me thus far in all of my traumatic experiences. You know, it's a blessing to be able to look back, you know, and see how far you've come. Ooh, so we have
come to the time on our Thursday where we pray for them. So, Shad T, who are we praying for this morning? Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Okay, this morning we are praying for Wendy Williams. Okay, so whether you watched her show or not, everybody know Wendy Williams. She started out being a radio personality, a radio personality, and then she was able to get her own TV show. How? I don't know. It's crazy. But as for everybody who knows that gossip just takes you to the top a lot of the time, one who dishes dirt takes you to the top a lot of the times, especially back in the day, because not too many people were doing that, especially if you were a radio personality, because your goal was to be likable. So you would get people on your show and, you know, you would try to be relatable or, you know, let them tell their story. And if they, you know, spoke badly about themselves, that was one thing. But for you now to be the one who spoke down to them was just a whole other thing. And she just generated so many enemies because this was her forte, which is how I always wondered, how did she end up getting her own show? But that's a whole other topic. But then she went on to get her own TV show, and the antics kept going. And it got to the point where even a lot of the celebrities did not want to be on her show because of either past encounters she had with them, things she said about them and or to them before they were even asked to be on the show. And yet she was able to just have such high ratings. Well, now, unfortunately, she has succumbed to Graves' disease, and that is an autoimmune disease where it's like it reproduces like a lot of thyroid hormones. And she did suffer from COVID at one point, so between those two things, it kind of kept her away from being able to do her job. And now they have different celebrities each week hosting her show. And one of the celebrities that hosts her show was Sherry Shepherd, who's also on, she's a co-host of The View. And she also co-starred for a couple of seasons on Jamie Foxx's show. And she actually, I just found out, between all of the celebrities so far who has been co-hosting, well, guest co-hosting her show, she has had the top ratings. Not only has she had the top ratings for those who have been guest appearing as a host, her ratings have even beat Wendy Williams' ratings on the show. And they recorded a few comments that I want to read. I'm sorry, real quick. So one follower of the show said, now, mind you, this is a follower of the Wendy Williams show itself, not a follower of Sherry Shepherd. So one said they should call it the Sherry Shepherd Show. Fire emojis, it's time. Another follower said they are probably working on it. Sherry is reliable and drama-free. Another one said, because Sherry Shepherd posted, oh, thank you, you know, Jesus, for allowing me to be, you know, successful and giving me a shot with the Wendy Williams fans. And another follower said, that's because it's your season, Sherry Shepherd. And I just find that very, very interesting that you made a career out of bringing a lot of these celebrities down, whether you felt justified or not, depending on their lifestyle and how they portrayed themselves in the limelight. That wasn't your responsibility to now help to be their downfall. But now even the people who were following you are ready to replace you. And they keep pushing back the date as to when Wendy Williams is supposed to return back to her show due to her illness. So I feel like we really need to lift her up in prayer, mainly because, you know, a lot of times you feel like you're on top and you're unstoppable. And I, for one, have always said to people, you know, people look like they on top. They have a lot of money. They have money where you look at it and say they could never go broke because they have all these zeros in their account and they floss them on social media looking like this, that, and the third. But because, as Christians, we know that we cannot have a successful life being the downfall of others. And unfortunately, you know, we don't know why, you know, she has had a very difficult time in the past being able to conceive and carry her, you know, carry a baby and everything. Like, you know, we don't know why God allowed all of this to happen, but we really have to pay attention to, again, and Pastor Steph, you went over this, I believe, Monday about the careers that Christians should have. And overall, the careers that people should have in general. And look at how fickle, again, the people are, that now you helped to be someone else's downfall. Now your people is ready to replace you. So praying for her sanity, praying that God, she makes room for God to show her that even though you thought you were making a name for yourself and a mark in this world, you know, everyone doesn't care about how bad they do as long as they're remembered, and you're getting ready to be replaced. So just praying that she, for one, her health, I'm praying that she allows God to get her back on track spiritually, whether she has to be introduced or reintroduced to Christ. It is really, really helping her this time that she has away from the cameras, away from the high demand, away from the glitz and glamour, that she really, really, really sees how fickle this world is, and that you cannot stay on top with trying to bring other people down. And, you know, also praying for her team, because she's not able to do all of this by herself. You know, she's not able to get the dirt, dish the dirt, produce the dirt, present the dirt, all of that by herself. So praying for her team as well, and just her overall well-being.
All right. You know, Wendy Williams was big back in the day. And like you said, when, you know, dishing the dirt was something that was extremely rare because everybody else cared about whether somebody liked them or not. She made it, you know, her business to dish the dirt, not caring about, you know, how other people felt, what it was doing to their life, and how it would affect them. And now her entire life is spilled out before, you know, this country. And, you know, interestingly also, you know, how, you know, exactly they say, you know, be careful, you reap what you sow. And how are we, you know, how we move forward is definitely, you know, what we draw back to us. So I find it very interesting what you're saying about, you know, you're looking to, you know, be replaced. They're looking to replace you. They have already found a replacement in your short time out. Mm-hmm. You know, they didn't take them long. Didn't take them long at all. So, you know, definitely a welcome, an opportunity to lift her up and pray. You know, again, you know, dishing the dirt was, you know, crucial back then because you didn't have internet and all of this stuff. So if she got the news first, she was hot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now you got to hope everybody else don't get it before you even get it. You really out there chasing it now because once it happens, somebody's dropping it into somebody's social media site. So, I'm sure she's going through right now. Okay. Let us whole hands and whole heart as we go before the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you, oh God, for another opportunity to come before you, God. You have chosen us to face you in this manner, to lift your people up before you. Come together and lift up your individuals before you, God, and today we're lifting up Wendy Williams, the Heavenly Father. You know everything about her. You know her history. You know her traumas. You know what has been invested in her from her parents. You know her relationship, you know, with her family, God. You know every single thing that drew her to take the stand that she did in watching people crumble, in revealing people's secrets, in being able to say the things that other people would not say, could not say. And Lord, here we are with her suffering physically, her marriage
has suffered. Her relationship with her son has suffered. Her relationship with her supporters have suffered. And now everything has seemed to come back to her, God. And I guess, you know, not enough to make you smile. So all the good times that she had, God, has come to an end. Even her very health, dear Heavenly Father, is uncertain right now. So, Lord, as we lift her before you, God, we ask you to first heal her body. Heal her, God, from all of the ailments and the disease that she has and how we can rip apart her body. God, we ask you to just please be with her. Please, you know, put her body back together piece by piece, God. Whatever it needs to happen according to your will. Lord, we're asking that you heal her mentally and physically as her marriage has spilled out all over the paper and the internet and her husband, girlfriend, and someone who's almost half your age and, you know, that could deal with her, you know, mental stamina and her confidence, God. We ask you, dear Heavenly Father, that she sees you right now. That every time she mirror, every time she opens up a magazine, every time she looks at the internet, that she sees nothing and no one but you, God. That, as Shanti said, you know, we don't know the level of introduction that she needs to you, God, but we know, we are confident that that relationship needs to be stimulated and it needs to be improved. Because she needs you right now, needs you, and probably during the time she never thought she would need you. Because when we behave like that, God, we forget that it may be us. That one day this could be us. So Lord, as she lays in her bed, or as she sits in her room, or a hospital bed, whatever it is, wherever she is, God, we ask you, dear Heavenly Father, to speak to her gently. Whisper in her ear, God, who you are and what you're capable of doing. That she doesn't see this as an end being replaced on her show, God, but that she sees this as a blessing, as a new way for a new walk in her life. That she can rechannel her attention to you so that you can really build the woman that she is. That all the influence she's had for 2-3 decades, God, that now she can really dish the dirt. She can really tell people who you and your son are. And with all her experiences and all the things that she said, God, that she can so eloquently tell people, Jesus saves. Because she would have known what it is to have a life-changing experience. That even if she feels she's down to zero right now, God, that she would allow you to pick her up, dust her off, and move forward. We ask you, God, to be with her son. Who it's had to be difficult, God, to watch his mother in the public eye. Regardless of what she did, again, she wasn't thinking about her child. And we ask you, God, to just heal him and cover him from all the indiscretions of his parents, God, all of his business being spilled out. There's no privacy for him. But we ask you, God, to just shelter him and cover him, that he feels like he is definitely free from all of the trauma that he's experienced, God. And Lord, we're asking you to just touch Wendy's life, that the traumas that she experienced, God, that when the devil knocks on her door, that she does not answer, but she will look to you for whence cometh her help, God. We thank you, O God, for hearing our prayer. We thank you, O God, for healing Wendy in whatever manner you choose to do so, God. Thank you. Thank you for loving us enough to just tap us on the shoulder so that we can pray for other people, God, and that our traumas would be lessened
as we put others before ourselves. Thank you, God, for the introduction as to who you really are, that we don't have to wonder who this God is that we're serving, but that you just have divulged yourself before us, and there are no questions that need to be asked. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Shanti, for your
place
today, and we pray that you have a blessed day.
Thank you, you too.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. All right. So, we talked about trauma today, and, you know, God is amazing because I know he addressed so many things in your life. I don't care what the trauma was. God can heal. And we definitely heard today that God is a healer. And just go back and listen to all those little things that were said that were big and that are life changers. You know, we talked about, you know, being in a relationship and experiencing trauma. And, you know, that's one of the most common traumatic experiences when you're in a relationship and somebody doesn't act right. They don't care about your feelings. Things like that just don't seem to matter to them. And, you know, you're trying to hang on based on what you're receiving. And you can't really give much because of what's going on in your past. How many times have you experienced trauma and you want to move forward and you do so and then something happens and it takes you right back? Takes you right back. And that's the cycle that Dr. Corrine was talking about. And we're just going to trust in God that we do our part. You know, we just can't sit and wait for God to heal us, like she said. We have to be proactive. What are you doing to help move forward? Because sitting in place and soaking is definitely not going to be the key. But one of the things she said, and this is why I say I have to believe, you know, people of God, is God is the healer and God is what you need to get you past. Yes, we know that you have to go through some levels of therapy, but partnered with your faith. You know, a lot of times these people out here just chasing the therapy side. And there's no great big progress. Well, on the flip side, the church says Jesus is all you need, and they don't get the therapy they need. And that's 2 weeks in a row we've been told that, and it's very true. So we're going to just keep everybody lifted in prayer that, you know, God will deal with you in a special way that you don't have to walk around traumatized any longer, that all of that will come to an end starting today. That there's something you heard that's the game changer. Well, as we always like to say, Jesus makes a difference. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m., where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you begin your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew for coming in big time for me today. I want to thank our guest, Dr. Corrine Jeffrey Johnson, for being such a blessing to our life. We want to thank you for hanging out with us and listening and just helping us get through this therapeutic Thursday. Please take Jesus as your personal Savior right now, because later is not promised to us. Help, let him help you get rid of that trauma going on in your life. Until tomorrow, where it's Freestyle Friday, we get to do whatever we want to do. I love you.